Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Ram Goldar and Dinim Zechus Vachim Daf Kuf Hey, the 12th Perek Dvul Yom. So the three Dafs are going to focus on, number one, the Tanakhama of the previous Mishnah taught that as soon as Parim HaNisrafim are carried out of the Azara, they're Matami the people carrying them. Rabbi Elazar asked, if half the body was outside and half inside, and the majority of one limb was outside, do we say, Hai mi'uta de aver basu rov aver shedin lei? Regarding the minority part of the limb left inside, we throw it after its majority to consider the entire aver, and thereby the majority of the animal outside? Or does it follow the majority of the animal, meaning its actual location, and its majority has not yet left the Azara? Rabbi Bar Rav Huna taught this question Gavrei about men, where five people were involved in carrying the body, and three of them had left the Azara, while two were still inside. Basa Rav is asking Azlinin, do we follow the majority of those involved with the body, and those inside would also be Tameh? Or Basa Behema Azlinin, or do we follow only the majority of the animal, not of those carrying it? The Gemara concludes, Teku. Point number two, the Torah says that Zera, edible seed, is only susceptible to Tumah after heksher, preparation for tumah, meaning becoming wet and later contracting tumah. This model teaches us that just as seeds, which will not be matame with tumah chamura, severe tumah, for example, as an abtuma, which food can never become, require heksher, the same applies to anything which is not matame with tumah chamura. This excludes the nevela of a kosher bird, shesofli tamed tumah chamura, which is destined to be matame with a severe tumah, vein tzricha heksher. So it does not require heksher, but is matame food automatically. Rav Meir says that the bodies of Parim HaNisrafim, the Paraduma, and the Sirei Mishdaleach, all of which are matame those involved with the procedure with a tumah chamura, but are not matame people through contact, are themselves matame foods through contact. The Chachamim hold that although these items can be matame on their own without contracting tumah from anything, they need to be susceptible to tumah. Thus, they agree that parim and paraduma are matame foods, but hold that the sirah mishdalech, which is alive and unfit for tumah, is not matame foods. And point number three, according to Rabbi Meir, who said that even items unfit for tumah can be matame foods if they're destined to be matame with tumah chamura, there are cases where a kazayas of a kosher bird's nevela would be matame food, despite lacking the minimum size for tumah. Rav Hamun asks Rabbi Zera, Monim bo Rishon v'Sheni, do we count Rishon and Sheni levels of tumah from it or not? Meaning, does the food it touched become a Rishon l'tumah, which can be matame other food as a Sheni? Or does the food it touched only become a Sheni? He answered that only something with the ability to be matame a person b'maga through contact can be matame food as a rishon and then a sheni. But kol heka de ein matame adam b'maga ein monim bo rishon v'sheni. Anything which cannot be matame a person through contact, we do not count rishon and sheni levels of tumah from it. Rather, the food becomes a sheni. A similar question was asked regarding two half kazesim of nevela, which are attached with liquid, which are only considered connected for tumah kala, a lenient tumah, for example, foods, but not to be matame people. Here, too, the foods they touch are only made a sheni, so they cannot be matame people. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Tanakhama of the previous Mishnah taught that as soon as Parim HaNisrafim are carried out of the Azara, they're matame the people carrying them. Rabbi Elazar asked, if half the body was outside and half inside, and the majority of one limb was outside, do we say, Hai mi'uta de aver basu rov aver shedin lei? Regarding the minority part of the limb left inside, we throw it after its majority to consider the entire aver, and thereby the majority of the animal outside? Or does it follow the majority of the animal, meaning its actual location, and its majority has not yet left the Azara? Rabbi Bar Rav Huna taught this question Gavrei about men, where five people were involved in carrying the body, and three of them had left the Azara, while two were still inside. Basa Rav is asking Azlinin, do we follow the majority of those involved with the body, and those inside would also be Tameh? Or Basa Behema Azlinin, or do we follow only the majority of the animal, not of those carrying it? The Gemara concludes, Teku. Point number two, the Torah says that Zera, edible seed, is only susceptible to Tumah after heksher, preparation for tumah, meaning becoming wet and later contracting tumah. This model teaches us that just as seeds, which will not be matame with tumah chamura, severe tumah, for example, as an abtuma, which food can never become, require heksher, the same applies to anything which is not matame with tumah chamura. This excludes the nevela of a kosher bird, shesofli tame tuma chamurit, which is destined to be matame with a severe tuma, vein tzricha heksher. So it does not require a heksher, but is matame food automatically. Reb Meir says that the bodies of parim nisrafim, the paraduma, and the sirei mishdaleach, all of which are matame those involved with the procedure with a tuma chamura, but are not matame people through contact, are themselves matame foods through contact. The Chachamim hold that although these items can be matame on their own without contracting tuma from anything, they need to be susceptible to tuma. Thus, they agree that parim and paraduma are matame foods, but hold that the sirei mishdaleach, which is alive and unfit for tuma, is not matame foods. And point number 3, according to Rabbi Meir, who said that even items unfit for tuma can be matame foods if they're destined to be matame with tuma chamura, there are cases where a kazayas of a kosher bird's nevela would be matame food, despite lacking the minimum size for tumah. Rav Amnon asks Rabbi Zera, "Monim bo rishon v'sheni, do we count rishon and sheni levels of tumah from it or not? Meaning, does the food it touched become a rishon l'tumah, which can be matame other food as a sheni? Or does the food it touched only become a sheni?" He answered that only something with the ability to be matame a person b'maga through contact can be matame food as a rishon and then a sheni. But koheka de ein matame adam b'maga ein monim bo rishon v'sheni. Anything which cannot be matame a person through contact, we do not count rishon and sheni levels of tumah from it. Rather, the food becomes a sheni. A similar question was asked regarding 2 half kazesim of nevela, which are attached with liquid, which are only considered connected for tumah kala, a lenient tumah, for example, foods, but not to be matame people. Here, too, the foods they touch are only made a sheni, so they cannot be matame people. All right, so now we get our siman daf kuf hei, and our standard siman is a hacker. A hacker, kuf hei backwards, hacker. So here goes. The hacker's computer overloaded when trying to write a program to solve if parim and nisrafim are half in and half out with the majority of one limb out, whether we follow the limb. While his partner was creating detectors for sof letame tuma chamura, which don't need texture, and things that aren't metame a person through contact, which only make a sheni. Once again, slow motion. The hacker, that must be on daf kuf hei. The hacker's computer overloaded when trying to write a problem to solve if parim and nisrafim are half in and half out with the majority of one limb out, whether we follow the limb, which reminds us, the Tanakhama of the previous Mishnah taught that as soon as parim and nisrafim are carried out of the Azara, they're matami the people carrying them. Rabbi Lazar asks, if half the body was outside and half inside, and the majority of one limb was outside, do we say, regarding this minority part of the limb left inside, we throw it after its majority to consider the entire aver, and thereby the majority of the animal outside? Or does it follow the majority of the animal, meaning its actual location, and its majority has not yet left the Azara? So the hacker's computer overloaded when trying to write a program to solve if parim and nisrafim are half in and half out, with the majority of one limb out, whether we follow the limb, while his partner was creating detectors for sof letame tuma chamura, which don't need heksher, which reminds us, the Torah says that zera, edible seed, is only a couple tuma after heksher, preparation for tuma, meaning becoming wet, and later contracting tuma. This model teaches that just as seeds, which will not be matame with tuma chamura, a severe tuma, meaning as an avatuma, which food can never become, require heksher, the same applies to anything which is not matame with a tuma chamura. This excludes the nevela of a kosher bird, shesofa letame tuma chamura, which is destined to be matame with a severe tuma, vein tzricha heksher. So it does not require heksher, but is matame food automatically. So the hacker's computer overloaded when trying to write a program to solve if parim and nisrafim are half in and half out with the majority of one limb out, whether we follow the limb, while his partner was creating detectors for sof letame tuma chamura, which don't need heksher, and things that aren't matame a person through contact, which only make a sheni, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that whatever cannot be matame a person through contact is only matame food as a sheni. So once again, the hacker's computer overloaded when trying to write a program to solve if parim and nisrafim are half in and half out with the majority of one limb out, whether we follow the limb, while his partner was creating detectors for sof letame tuma chamura, which don't need heksher, and things that aren't matame a person through contact, which only make a sheni. All right, so now it's time for 4 blot back hazara. Kuf off. So the siman daf kuf off is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. At the monthly Kohen bird calling meet, bird calling, that must be more on daf. Kuf Aleph, K caw, caw. At the monthly Cohen bird calling meet, where one group practiced the Onan call to commemorate why the Seer Rosh Chodesh was burnt at the Mishkan's inauguration, which reminds us to not debate why the Seer Chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burnt on the day that Aaron and his sons became Onanim upon the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. Rabbi Nechemia says, Mifnei Aninus Ravua, they burned it because of Aninus, meaning because they were not permitted to eat it. The Psukim hint to an exchange between Moshe and Aaron about why the Seer Rosh Chodesh was burned. So at the monthly bird calling meet, where one group practiced the Onan call to commemorate why the Seer Rosh Chodesh was burnt at the Mishkan's inauguration, and another answer with the Tamei call, which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree with Rabbi Nechemia and say, Mifnei Tuma Nisrufa, the Seer Rosh Chodesh was burned because of Tuma contracted. According to them, a similar exchange took place between Moshe and Aaron. Aaron explained why the Chatos was not eaten. Although Moshe was told they could eat it while Onanim, perhaps that was only that night, but during the day it was prohibited based on a Kavachom from Maaser Sheni. This delay until night caused the Chatos to accidentally become Tameh. So at the monthly bird calling meet, where one group practiced the Onan call to commemorate why the Seer Rosh Chodesh was burnt at the Mishkan's inauguration, and another answered with the Tameh call, a man named Pinchas stood alone dreaming of the day he would become a Kohen, which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon asked Rabbi Nechemia, among other questions, why would the Chatos be burned because they were Onanim and couldn't eat it since Pinchas was also Kohen and was not an Onan? The Gemara answers that he holds like Rabbi Elazar, who said, when he's called Pinchas ad sheharagu leZimri, Pinchas did not become a Kohen until he killed Zimri. As the Pasuk says afterwards, v'haisalo lezoro achra bris kunas olam, it shall be for him an offspring after him, a bris of eternal priesthood, implying he was not a Kohen beforehand. Thus, he wasn't a Kohen at the time of this incident. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The woman who was declared a Metzor and confined to a cave. A cave? That must be on Daf Kuf Beis. The woman was declared a Metzor and confined to a cave by Hashem himself, which reminds us, we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mazkir Miriam Tzras himself. So the woman who was declared a Metzor and confined to a cave by Hashem himself saw her great brother in the distance, who was a Kohen, give Big Day Kahuna to his brother, who was a Levi, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas, if Moshe was a Kohen, and we learn, Kol Charon Afshim B'Torah Nemar Baroshim, with every mention of burning of anger in the Torah, an effect is mentioned regarding it, meaning it's followed by a rebuke or a curse or something else, V'zeh will Nemar Baroshim, but this instance does not mention an effect regarding it, meaning nothing resulted from Hashem's anger. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, this Charon Af also had an effect, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Aaron as the Levi, although he was a Kohen, to say, Ani amarti ata Kohen v'hu Levi, I said that you, Moshe, would be a Kohen, and he would be the Levi. Now Aaron will be the Kohen, and you will be the Levi. So the woman who's declared a Metzor and confined to a cave by Hashem himself saw her great brother in the distance, who was a Kohen, give Big Day Kahuna to his brother, who was a Levi, who was hoping to stay tower from the time of Zrika until the time of Hector Cholavim, so he could get a share of the Karbanos, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what the halakha is regarding a Kohen getting a share in Karbanos if he was Tamei during Hector Cholavim or between the Zrika and Hector Cholavim. Daf Kuf Gimel, so the similar Daf Kuf Gimel is Kugel. So here goes. Mr. Cohen from Cohen's Kugel Shop, Kugel, that must be more on Daf Kuf Gimel. Mr. Cohen from Cohen's Kugel Shop, who decorated his store from all the hides he received from the men and women who brought olos, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses when Kohanim received the ore of a carbon. Both the ores of a man's ola and a woman's ola go to Kohanim. This is darshan by Brisa from a superfluous ha'ola. The ores of Kachim Kalim are received by the carbon's owner, but the ores of Kachim Kachim are given to Kohanim. So, Mr. Cohen from Cohen's Kugel Shop, who decorated his store from all the hides he received from the men and women who brought olos, was so excited when a customer brought his giant Yerushalmi Kugel that he was makdish an ola to Bet HaKabayis, which meant its hide belongs to Hektish, which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda Darshan's olos ish, a person's ola to exclude olos Hektish, an ola of Hektish. Three interpretations are given of this case, the first of which is later rejected. Rabbi Yanai says it means an ola which the owner was additionally makdish for Bet HaKabayis, meaning for monetary Hektish. Although there is a machlokas if such Hektish takes effect on a carbon midderaisa or only midderabbanan, that is only regarding its meat, which belongs to the Mizbeach, but regarding its ore, it surely belongs to Hektish midderaisa and not the Kohanim. So Mr. Cohen from Cohen's Kugel Shop, who decorated his store from all the hides he received from the men and women who brought olos, was so excited when a customer brought his giant Yerushalmi Kugel that he was makdish an ola to Bet HaKabayis, which meant its hide belongs to Hektish. As he put the money he received in the leather satchel he had made from the hides he received from Kachi Kachim, which reminds us, the Pasuk says that the ore of an oil is given to Kohanim. A Braisa darshans the phrase Asher Hikrib, which he offered to teach, that they receive oils of other karbanas. Still, only Kachi Kachim are given to Kohanim because they're similar to an oil, but the oils of Kachim Kalim are given to the carbon's owner. Rav Shmuel derives that the oils of Kachi Kachim are given to Kohanim based on a Kal Vachomer. Daf Kuf Dalet. So the Siman Daf Kuf Dalet is a code. So here goes. The Kohen searching for code. Code? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Dalet. The Kohen searching for code who was told the skin of a carbon was permitted after Zrika before the meat became possible, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchokas, if Zrika is effective for the or alone when the Basar was disqualified. So the Kohen searching for code who was told the skin of a carbon was permitted after Zrika before the meat became possible, found etched into the skin a map with the location of the three Beis HaDeshanim, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Avuha says, there are three Beis HaDeshanim, places of ashes. Number one, a large Beis HaDeshan in the Azara for burning disqualified Kachi Kachim and Parim Nisrafim, which were disqualified before Zrika. Number two, another Beis HaDeshan on the Har HaBayis for Parim Nisrafim, which were disqualified after Zrika. And number three, one outside the three camps, meaning outside Yerushalayim, for burning the Parim Nisrafim according to their proper procedure. So the Kohen searching for code who was told the skin of a carbon was permitted after Zrika, before the meat became possible, found etched into the skin a map of the location of the three Beis HaDeshanim, but could not discern the code to figure out if Parim Nisrafim, Asiri Nisrafim that were left overnight, disqualifies their meat, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, Lina, Mahu Shatogu B'Parim HaNisrafim B'Sirim HaNisrafim? Is remaining overnight effective to disqualify meat of the burned bulls and the burned goats? Do we say Lina only disqualifies Basar the Barachila, meat which is consumed by people or the Mizbeach, but not the meat of Parim HaNisrafim, or does it disqualify this meat as well? Although a Braisa proves that Pigel intent is ineffective for Parim HaNisrafim because they're not consumed items, it's still possible that Lina does disqualify them. All right, so now it's time to cuckoo with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do you learn that the oros of Olas Hekdesh are not given to Kohanim? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold that the reason that the Seir Rosh Chodesh was burnt on the day of the Mishkan's inauguration was because of Tuma? That's on daf Kuf Aleph. Good. Number three. Which daf do we have Malkokas if Zrika is effective for the or alone when the Basar was disqualified? That's on daf Kuf Dalet. Good. Number four. Which daf do we learn that whatever cannot be Matami a person through contact is only Matami food as a Shani? That's on daf Kuf Hey. Good. Number five. Which daf do we Malkokas the time regarding Aninus whether Yom Kippura Tofas Leilo Midrabban? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number six. Which daf do we learn that Sofu Gatame Tumah Chamura is Matame food automatically and does not require Heksher? That's on daf Kuf Hey. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we have a Malchokas of Moshe was a Kohen and we learn Kol Harun Af Shabbatorah Nemer Baroshem? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we learn that Reish Lakish provides a source that a Tevul Yom does not receive a share in the Karbanas? That's on daf Sadi test. Good. Number nine. Which daf do you discuss determining the majority of Parim Nisrafim leaving the Azora to be Matame? That's on daf Kuf Hey. Great. And number 10. Which daf do you learn that Nehemiah holds the reason the Seir Rosh Chodesh was burnt on the day of the inauguration is because of the Aninus of Aaron and his sons? That's on daf Kuf Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.